Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One thing we know is going to be good is talking to Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. You could follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. Also, highly recommend listening to the Move the Sticks podcast that he hosts with Bucky Brooks. Joining us on the WadeForward.com hotline is Daniel Jeremiah. How are you today, Daniel?
I'm doing great, fellas. I'll tell you what, I had The day started for me. I was supposed to get a physical for a life insurance policy at 10 a.m. and the nice lady decided to show up at 7 a.m. So it was a very exciting morning there to have your blood drawn when you're half asleep.
That sounds like something, DJ. That sounds like something that your wife made you do.
Well, yeah, it made me a little nervous.
So how are you? Everything okay physically? You doing all right?
Yeah, we find out 5 to 7 days, but I feel good. Feel good about it.
Good, man. We'll follow up in 5 to 7 days. I want to make sure everything's all right.
Yeah, come on. Have me on next week. I'll give you the results.
Blood pressure's okay. Cholesterol's a little high. I got to scale back on the salts.
Exactly.
Daniel, you had a great conversation on your podcast with Thomas Dimitroff about a week ago, and we played some of the audio on the show here and got into some of what he said. I just want to start off with you, big picture. What did you take away from talking to Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, when you had him on your show a couple weeks ago?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for listening to it and sharing it with your audience. We actually have even more from that interview. It's gonna pop out on Monday.
Oh, all right.
We're doing a prototype series where we're taking one position per episode and kind of digging in deep. And so we had the second part of that conversation with Thomas was about the wide receiver position, and he has a lot of interesting thoughts on Julio and his contract and everything else. So you can find that coming up on Monday. But my biggest takeaway really was two things. Number one, investing in protecting Matt Ryan was the number one priority for this team in the offseason, both in free agency and in the draft. And then defensively, the hope is that if you get everybody back healthy, that unit takes a big leap forward. So that to me was the biggest takeaway, reinforcing that offensive line, throwing a lot of resources at it, and in full belief that Matt Ryan can get back to MVP form.
Well, that was going to be my question to you about this offensive line, was whether he drafted. Now I'll go over to the other side, DJ, in this defensive line. Now, we all here in Atlanta, we know that Grady's a stud. We know that Grady Jarrett is a stud. But we're trying to figure out, because it seems like every year when everybody's anticipating the Falcons drafting something, they go the complete opposite way. What do you think about that defensive line, and do they have enough with just Grady up there?
I'll tell you what, one of the things, I think you look at the defense as a whole, it's a fast, fast group. Now, if you're saying, is there somebody that's a, I always look at it when you're putting a scouting report together. So if I'm a team playing the Atlanta Falcons, and I have to circle somebody that I'm worried about in terms of getting after the quarterback, you know, if you're where you want to be in today's NFL, you want to have two or three guys that you're having to circle and say, okay, this is a problem. You know, I do the Charger games during the fall. So with them, you got Bosa and Ingram, and then they try and add in some reinforcements with a guy like Jerry Tillery this year. When I look at this Falcons team, it's really Grady Jarrett. You circle him, and then there's just question marks because you don't know what you're going to get from Beasley, and you don't know exactly what you're going to get from McKinley. So one of those two guys, you know, ideally both of them, but one of those two guys has to be a double-digit sack guy this year and really be a compliment to what you have in Grady. And I'm glad you guys mentioned it. I mean, you see it every week. Grady Jarrett is one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL who never, for some reason, gets mentioned in that conversation nationally.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Daniel is an analyst for NFL Network, and again, highly recommend the Move the Sticks podcast. Does it make it hard to like fully analyze and predict what the Falcons' defense is going to look like, given what you just said about the pass rushers, given the fact that we don't really know what we're going to get from Tack and Vic? We know we need to get a lot from them. We don't know if we're going to get a lot from them. When you look at what the Falcons' defense can be coming up this year, how much does the question mark surrounding those two guys play into your assessment?
Yeah, you know, look, it's it's not ideal. I mean, you'd like to have some more known guys there that you're reliable and consistent. But the thing that gives me some hope for this defense is, coming from the Ravens and having grown up in that system, Ozzie Newsome always talked about how we build it up the middle. And when you look at this Falcons team, you want to have an impact player at all three levels up the middle of your defense. And I think when they get healthy with Deion back in there, you can make a strong case with Grady and Deion and Keanu. You've got guys that are big-time impact players right up the gut of your defense. And so I'm a believer in that, and that's what gives me a lot of hope. This can be a unit that's going to be fast and can be really good. I just, to take that next step forward, they've got to get some more consistent edge pressure, and that's TBD.
Hey, DJ, explain the just the value that Devontae Freeman brings to this offense when he's whole, because last year, as good as Matt Ryan played, he still got knocked around or not because they didn't have a chance to be more balanced as far as running the football.
Yeah, one of the things is it's not only just him running the ball, but it's getting so many easy completions. And so you get, as a quarterback, when you get a running back that can pop off 8 yards on first down, it makes your life easier second, too. That's, again, it's all about making your quarterback comfortable. He gives you that opportunity. Then you get somebody you can flip the ball out to on an easy, easy completion, and you've got somebody that can get you 10, 15, 20, 30 yards and get you some chunks. And that's when you have special years. That's when you have MVP-type seasons at the quarterback position because you've got people around you that are making your life easier. And when Devontae's healthy and at his best, he's one of those guys that makes life a lot easier on the quarterback.
Hey, Daniel, what did you make of the decisions that the Falcons made this offseason in terms of their coaching staff, the changes that they made, the experience that they brought in, and Dan Quinn moving to be exclusively the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. You get, Cutter in there, but to me, Dan Quinn taking over that defense and having some ownership there, I think that's going to be that's going to be the big difference. And really, if you look at his, his background, as you guys know, and the expertise up in the front, if we're saying, as we've been saying, that you've got to find a way to generate more pass rush, more edge pass rush, that's his baby. So for him to have control of that and have a feel for that, I think that's going to be good for him overall. It's difficult to be calling one side of the ball and also be a head coach. But, I mean, all you got to do is watch the Super Bowl last year, and I think you could say both those coaches had a pretty good hand in one side of the ball.
DJ, we know that Julio is the man. We all know that. And right now, Mohamed Sanu, he's penciled in as the number two. But Calvin Ridley played well until he hit a little rookie wall last year. Do you see that there's any way that that really might take some reps away from Sanu this year?
I'll tell you what, when you listen to what Dimitroff says on Monday, and I'm not even from a selfish promotional standpoint for this podcast, wait till you hear the way he talks about Calvin Ridley. If you're somebody that plays fantasy football and you're listening to us right now, uh-huh, go ahead and pick him early because the expectations are through the roof of what he's going to be.
Wow. Hey, you said that will be released on Monday on the Move the Sticks podcast?
Yep, that'll be out on Monday.
Right.
And, he goes, Thomas talked a lot about Julio and talked about skill sets of receivers and, just a little bit about Ridley. He just said he's got a chance to be one of the best route runners in the NFL, and he just gushed about him. So it was very interesting. And we knew, look, we know how explosive he is. But it sounds like that time is coming sooner than later.
Well, we will absolutely point people in that direction when that's released. Daniel Jeremiah, by the way, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline from NFL Network, as well as the Move the Sticks podcast. I want to get your take on the rest of the NFC South. Randy kind of mentioned it earlier that a lot of the direction of some of the other teams has been bulking up the pass rush. The Falcons bulked up their offensive line. What do you make of what the Falcons did this offseason in the context of what everyone else did in the NFC South this offseason?
Well, it's a fascinating division because there's the Saints, if they're healthy and knowing what they have and where they are in the process, it's kind of a now or never when you've got a quarterback at Drew Brees' age. But, they still, to me, appear to be, the class of that division. Carolina is a wild card, obviously, because of Cam, is the hell, if he's healthy, they're right back in the mix. And you look what they did in the offseason. Especially in the draft, you get a guy like Greg Little, who I think has got a chance to come in and play right away for him. They got some pass rush with Brian Burns. I liked what they did in the offseason. And then to me, Tampa, I honestly have no idea what to expect there. I think people, when you have a coaching change, usually it's because you've got two sides of the ball that are terrible. Their offense was actually pretty explosive last year. And so now you get Arians to come over with a lot of talent in place. I think they'll score a bunch of points. And then we'll see what they can do defensively. I love bringing in Devin White, but they have the greatest variance to me. I feel like most of those teams, you could say, okay, I feel comfortable within two or three wins of where they're going to be. If you told me Tampa was like 5-11 or 11-5, I would argue with you.
Hey DJ, right now, you know, it's a slow summer, and every day it's a new list of who's this, who's that, who's the best team here, and all that.
List season.
And right now we've been talking about our show about the new list where the Falcons are rated and all these other teams. In the NFC, would you put the Falcons, because you got to be in the top six to make the playoffs, would you put them somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think they're right in that mix. You know, I always, you know, look, there's nothing going on, so this is what we do, right? Everybody goes out there and creates their lists of this, that, or the other. I always feel like once I get a chance to get out to training camps, I don't care about the preseason games, I'm not really putting in much stock in that, but once you get out there and see these teams on the field, you get a chance to see the kind of depth that they have. And at that point in time, I feel like, okay, you have a pretty decent understanding of where they shake out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at teams in the NFC right now, and I think you're talking about a top five or six team. They're right there in that mix.
Hey, Daniel, I wanted to get one more in for you, not NFL-related, but I saw on your Twitter feed you had done a video breakdown of DeAndre Swift. You're talking about DeAndre Swift. Obviously, we talk a lot of UGA football here. What did you make of some of the video breakdown you did on him, and what do you expect him to look like in Georgia's offense this year?
He's fun to watch. You know, he's one of those guys last year when you're watching Holyfield, you know, getting ready for the draft, I was like, if people would ask me, you know, what's your take on Holyfield? I said, well, the worst thing is that the other guy comes in. Once the other guy comes in, you're like, oh, geez, you realize everything that Holyfield isn't when you see Swift come out there because of his ability level. No fault to Holyfield, but just that guy's on a different level. And to me, I'm anxious to see how purely fast he is. I have a sense he might be a little quicker than fast, but, man, he hits a lot of home runs. Guys gain on him. They never catch him. And he is a strong, powerful, low center of gravity guy. So he's a very, very talented player.
He got some wheels, DJ. Yeah, he can go now.
Yeah, that's what I'm anxious to see because it's one of those deals where he's always – and, you know, guys, sometimes when you're fast, he just kind of knows how fast he has to be to get there.
Yeah.
And so I'll see linebackers kind of closing on him. They don't catch him, but they're closing on him. So I'm like, well, he's either got a very keen understanding of his own body and just kind of gearing it down, or maybe he's, you know, doesn't have that pure top end, but golly, he just ran 75 yards, so he's doing something right.
Hey, Daniel, we appreciate it. Great stuff, as always. We will be sure to check out the Thomas Dimitroff conversation on Monday. And, of course, you know, good luck with the physical results.
Appreciate it, DJ.
And, hey, if there's nothing going on in the sports world and you need a conversation or debate, we can talk about whether you guys have the best young baseball player or whether my San Diego Padres do, because I'm going to go with my guy, Fernando Tatis Jr.
You want to debate that? Okay,
we'll have you back on.
Yeah, all right, that's a deal. And I can give you the update on my physical. Everybody wins.
Appreciate it, D.
That's Daniel Jeremiah.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.